Morning. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 2 to begin with. Acts chapter 2, and starting with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongue, speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and were greatly perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you this morning that you have given us not just a covering, Lord. You have given us a new creation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank thee that, Lord, despite whether we come thinking that we're unable or we're unworthy or we just shouldn't be here, that, Lord, we're hidden in you. And Lord, we're asking this morning that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. I ask, Father, that you'd open your word to us today and help us to hear what you're saying to us, that we might respond to you, and in responding to you, finding out what it is that you have for us in Christ. Lord, we want to know what it is that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we want to not just know it, but we want to have it. We want to have it in our hands. We want to have it in our lives. We don't just want to be those that can talk about it. But Lord, we want to be those who demonstrate, Lord, the life of God in us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, how unable I am to take your word and say, this is what it means. So I ask, Lord, that you would open it up to us by the Holy Spirit. You would breathe on it, Lord. You would speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're in continuing in Ephesians, and I have to apologize. 2 weeks ago I said I think I had two messages left, and it's been two messages. So I'm sorry I'm not done. Okay. With that in mind, I'm only going to cover a few verses today. That being what it is, I'm just going to go on and read them. And talk just a little bit about them. So let's go ahead in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin where we left off last time at verse 15 of chapter 5. And we're going to read through verse 21. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, actually, I read this last time, but I'm going over it again this time because I didn't touch it, and I felt that that was one of the wonderful things in there, and to pass it over and go on to something else, I think would be not a good thing. And so, in beginning, this is the last time we see the word walking. And so far in Ephesians, since we come to chapter 4, remember the first three chapters were kind of showing us what we have in Christ. And then from chapter 4 on, we've been saying, okay, now that you know that you have these things, what do you do with them? And this is the fifth walking verse. The first one was in chapter 4, the beginning of the chapter, where it said, walk worthy of the calling which we are called with. And then in verse 17, it said, walk not as the Gentiles walk. And then last week, we talked about the two walks in chapter 5, walk in love and walk as children of life. And all of these so far, when they talked about walking, it's giving us some pattern. It gives us a pattern of what not to do. But today we have something different. It says, well, my version here says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Now, some of your versions say, walk circumspectly. And actually, the root word that we're talking about here comes from the word meaning accurately. Walk accurately. This seems really weird, doesn't it, to walk accurately? But actually, it's not a question about the direction you're going. The direction's already set. The thing is walking toward the mark. It's interesting when I think about this, because it's not talking about a general direction. If we're talking about, for example, pitching baseball, when you got on the mound, you wouldn't, if you're a good pitcher, you would not throw it in the general direction of home plate. Because the general of the home direction of home plate is as wide as the wall is. And so that's not a good deal. But you would try to pitch it in the strike zone. You want to aim for the way you want to be an accurate pitcher. And an accurate pitcher is a person that can throw strikes all the time. Same thing with if you're shooting free throws. You don't throw it in the general direction of the basket. You aim at your target. You have this little hole up there that you want to put it in, and you want to put it in that target, and so that's what you're going for. So what you're doing is you're looking for accuracy. And an interesting thing about this is this word accurately, I think, is interesting because the word for sin, the word for sin in Greek is hamartia. And hamartia is a word that is actually used for archery. And it has to do with missing the mark. It's being off target. And so, as Paul exhorts these brothers and sisters for the last time to walk, he points them toward the mark. And he says, walk toward the mark. This is where we're going from. Because to walk from the mark is to miss the mark and somehow to be separated or to fall into sin. And so this is where Paul's coming from in this last time. Now, the question is, you know, how is this going to be done? How do we walk accurately? And Paul gives us a few adjectives here. He says, be wise. And not foolish. Well, what does it mean to be wise? If you're wise, you're aware. You're aware of what needs to be done. You're aware of where you are. A guy with court sense on the basketball court knows where the basket is at all times. He can have his back to the basket. But then he can turn and pop that jumper right in because he's aware of where he is. He knows just from his being there, from his experience on the court, he has that court sense. He's aware of where he is. The same with a pitcher in baseball. He's aware of where the strike zone is, so he's aware of where he can hit the corners. He's aware of the strike zone. A good hitter is aware of the strike zone, so he's not swinging at things that are out of the strike zone. He's aware of where that is. And the other thing is, wise is, he's informed. A wise person is informed. You make a wise decision because you're informed about the subject matter in which you're making the decision. Hopefully, when you go out to vote, you're making a wise decision. You're making an informed decision. When you come in, if you're taking a test, like a multiple choice test, hopefully, you're making an informed decision. I know when I give a test, my kids, my students will say, well, what's going to be on the test? And I'll say, well, there'll be some multiple guess questions. I hope that they don't see it that way, because some of us do. You know, we do the, oh, okay, sounds good. But hopefully you're making an informed decision because you know something. And the thing is, you have to draw, because it talks about later on in the set of the verses, it talks about knowing the will of God. Hopefully you have, or you will draw on, your knowledge of God's will. That as Christians, you should have some knowledge of His will because you read His Word. Right? And He says, don't be foolish. Well, what's a foolish man? A foolish man is one who lacks judgment. All right? Just doesn't have the right thing. It's like a person coming to a stop sign and looks at the car coming and the car is right over here and says, oh, I'll just pull out now. That's lacking judgment because that car is too close. And you're going to get hit or you're going to cause that person to go in an accident trying to swerve and miss you. So he says, don't lack judgment. Don't lack that sense that helps you in knowing what to do. But then he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is what we really want to concentrate on. Okay. Now, what is the will of the Lord? And last time we talked about a little bit that a lot of times, especially as young people, not so much as older people, we think about, well, the will of God, what is the will of God for my life? Should I be a doctor? Is that the will of God for me? Maybe I should be a housewife. I don't know, maybe that's God's will for me. Maybe I should be a teacher. Maybe I should be an athletic star. And we look at all the ways or the possibilities of things we can do in life and say, well, Lord, what is your will for me in that? What is going to be my occupation for life? But that's not what God is, that's not what Paul is talking about here. You know, most of these people that he's talking to are probably slaves. And Paul in Corinthians says, you know, if you're a slave, don't try to be free. Just be who you are. If you're a slave, you've been called as a slave, then stay a slave. If you get free, that's fine. But don't spend all your time trying to get out of this situation. Well, then, what is the will of God that he's talking about? And you know that we have heard over and over and over that God wants sons. That the will of God for us is that we become sons. Sons like His Son, our Lord Jesus. That's what the will of God is for us. Now it says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is there to understand? He wants us to be sons. Isn't that enough? Well, let's look at what understand means, okay? Understand means to know the ways and the workings of and to put it into operation in my life. That is understanding. Now, you remember last time I talked about putting together Christmas presents? You get those instructions, and if you don't understand them, how it could be a tricycle, but it looks like a submarine. Okay? because you don't understand. You don't know the way it works. And therefore, because you don't know how to put it in operation. Well, some of us, we run our Christian lives like that. We don't know how it works because we are natural or we're carnally minded. We think that we go about doing what God wants us to do by being ourselves and doing the best we can. And so we have to come to a place where our minds are renewed. And I've used this before, and I'm going to use it again, in watching Disney films, in watching The Sword in the Stone, and I remember watching that when I was a little boy, and watching it as an adult when I taught at a school, that during the summer school we played films like that, and watching when King Arthur, who they called Wart, would become like a squirrel. And he had trouble until he found out that he's living by the life of the squirrel. Or he's a bird and he's trying to run away from something that's chasing him. And all he has to do is fly. But he doesn't realize that because he's been running so long as a human being. He doesn't realize that he's a bird now. Well, brothers and sisters, we're new creations. And we have to get used to the new life that's in us. It's no longer the old life. And that's why Paul said in chapter 4, he says, you know, we got to put off the old man. And put on the new man. That goes with the good as well as the bad. We always think of the old man as being something bad, but the old man has a lot of good things in him too. You know, we can be naturally smart. We can be naturally athletic. We can be a natural leader. But in the kingdom of God, that means nothing. Because the kingdom of God is not made up of the natural man. The kingdom of God is made up of the spiritual man, the new creation, the man after Christ. And so you have to learn all over again. I remember in first grade, there was one of our classmates, his name was Greg Baroni, and he got in a car accident, a really bad car accident. I remember it was really bad because our teacher cried, and you don't see teachers crying. And both his legs were broken, and I mean really broken. And he had to learn to walk all over again. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same for us. We have to learn to walk all over again. Because we're not getting the old legs back. We're getting new legs. We're getting a new life. We need to learn to abide by that life and let that life abide in us. And that's a hard thing because it's just not natural for us. We always go back to what's natural for us. I mean, even, you know, if you watch athletes, when they get into the bad habits, that's because they're naturally that way. I remember I had a coach. I was a lousy free throw shooter. I think I shot about 53% in high school. So when you got me on the line, you wanted to foul me. But I had a coach in junior college who made me shoot against the wall. I couldn't even shoot at a basket. I was so bad. Okay, he made me shoot against the wall. And what he did is he trained me to do this, turn my wrist out, so that what would happen is, the tendency for when you shoot, you see people that shoot, they put their wrist straight down. But what happens is, after a while you go into a habit, it's natural to go like this. And now what happens is it throws the spin off the ball and it rims out. So he had me going like this. And I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world. I turned into an 80% free thrower. Because he just messed with my mechanics a little bit. He says, you know, you got to learn it. You got to learn a new thing. You got to go by this new life. And when you find yourself missing like this, check your follow through. And it worked. I couldn't believe it. And it's the same with us. The Lord says you have to understand how it works. You got to look at it that way. And so, how does this go about? How do we go about doing this? Okay, how do we understand and know the workings of the will of the Lord? Well, what is the will of the Lord? Okay, it says, and there's a, this kind of sums it up right here. If the will of the Lord is for us to become like Christ, us to become sons, okay, then what do we go about doing? Okay, now it says, and this is really, I think, the key to it. It sounds like it ends right here. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then there's the continuation that says, and don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. This is the whole key to the new life. Now, what do I mean? And don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, Wycliffe, who was the first one to translate the Bible into English, he wrote it this way. And don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have an idea of drunk being sinful, which it is, okay, and filled with the Spirit being something else. But if you look at it in this way, being filled, what is filling you? Really what it means is what's controlling you. Because if you are filled with wine, or if you're drunk, you are no longer in control of yourself, are you? That's why they have you walk that white line. Walk the line. Well, you can't control yourself. Do this. You can't control yourself. And so to be filled in that way is to be controlled or to be under the influence of this thing. Now, we can say, well, I don't drink, so this can't be talking to me. Well, what can we replace wine with? Well, how about just the influence or the sway of this world system? Don't be under the influence of this world system. Don't be under the influence of the natural man, because that is dissipation. Now, what in the world is dissipation? I mean, some of your Bibles say excess, some of them say dissoluteness. Mine here says dissipation. And I think I like the word dissipation. Because when I think of excess, that means you're doing all this kind of stuff that you shouldn't be doing. All right, but sometimes I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes you might be walking in the way of the world by the natural man, and you're not doing things to excess. And so we count it out. They're not talking about me. I don't sin like that. I don't walk like that. I don't know what they're talking about. Why are they talking to me about this? But what it means is this. You know, the clouds might dissipate today. What do I mean? I know you're in here. Go away or turn to nothing. Right? Brothers and sisters, what dissipation is the way you're following turns to nothing. There's no prize at the end. There's nothing there. You know, you can look at it as far as a person that gets drunk, he's looking for happiness. And he might think he's happy, but the thing is, he wakes up and he's not under the influence anymore, and he's miserable. You could say the same thing about drugs. You could say the same thing about sex. You could say the same thing about athletics if you don't win the championship. Or even when you do win the championship, Kai, now what do? My goal is gone. They say that Alexander the Great, when he came to the Himalayas, he wept because there was nothing else to conquer. And then he got drunk and died. That's true. He got inebriated, caught pneumonia, and died from malaria. So here, even the great man of the world, life dissipates if you don't know what the will of God is for your life. And again, I'm not talking about, am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a baseball player? Am I going to be a fire chief? I'm talking about, am I going to be a son? That's the goal that God has for us. To be a son, somebody who's responsible in His kingdom. That's what He wants for us. So, and you know something, as far as Ephesus goes, who was the number one god or goddess in Ephesus? Yeah, Diana, greatest Artemis of the Ephesians. You know who's number two? Bacchus. You know who Bacchus is? That's right, he's the god of wine and drink, right. Number two. And what's interesting is Artemis, Artemis is a picture of the athlete, the huntress. What about today? What are the gods of today? Well, go to the why. I want to be physically fit. Okay? Or, you know, Party City. Go to West Virginia University, University of West Virginia. Okay? I only say that because I had a former student come and tell me. Okay? Otherwise, I would say Chico State. California was Chico State. Party City. And I didn't want to say UVA because you probably have guys who went there, so, you know. But, you know, that's it. That's the goal of today. Now, there was, I think Alexander the Great had a contest. He said, I want to know who can drink the most. And he put it among his soldiers. 32 people died. And I don't know how they died, whether they threw up themselves to death or whether they walked off a cliff because they were so drunk or whatever. Had heart attacks, whatever. But you know, that's the thing. That was, hey, let's see who can do the most. But that's not the will of God. That's dissipation. Okay? To be under the influence of another's control, allowing another to have sway. And you know, I think that sometimes when we think of being filled with the Spirit, there's a fear that we can no longer control ourselves. Like all of a sudden, it's like we're being possessed. Oh, the Spirit's leading me over here. It's not that. It's being under the sway. Okay? Under the influence of another. I was very happy because I fear for my daughters. You know? That's what fathers do. And, you know, there's a lot of influences out there. And we were talking on the way home one day, and I had to compliment my daughter, my daughter Katie. I said, you know, you could have done a lot of things and you haven't done it. You haven't done these things. And I know some of your friends do these things and you don't. And I want to tell you that I'm impressed. What's the influence? The Lord influencing her. You know, that's what I look at. Has the Lord set up a guard in that way? Same with us. What is our influence? Okay, be filled with the Spirit. It actually is the idea of being filled continuously. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Because I thought, like, we all have the Holy Spirit, don't we? I mean, once we believe, don't we all have the Holy Spirit? Well, why doesn't He just take control? I mean, He's God, isn't He? Why doesn't He just take control of us? Because that's not Him. You remember, and I touched a little bit on this in Seattle with the kids I worked with there and in Toronto. You know, there's a scripture in Philippians that talks about the Spirit of Christ. It says, have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That though He was equal with God, He didn't, you know, said that was something to be grasped at. And then He humbled Himself, and He went lower, and He never took anything. He only took what the Father gave Him. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. He does not force Himself on you in any way. I think a wonderful thing about David was David, even when he should have been the rightful king, he never took Saul's place, even when he had the chance twice to kill him. And it would have been right for him to kill him. But he just didn't do it. He says, far be it from me that I should harm the Lord's anointed. And he waited until he was given that position. And that was after Saul died. And after Saul died, Israel still didn't take him. Now, Judah did. His brothers and sisters did. They made him king. And he was king for 7 years. And it was finally, after those 7 years, the rest of Israel said, be our king. And he said, I will. Brothers and sisters, that's the Holy Spirit. That's just like the Holy Spirit. He will not force himself upon you. He will not take anything by force. It must be given to him. Has to be given to him. Because that's who he is. Now, you know, we think be filled with the Spirit. It's like, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's my superhero pose. Okay. Go ahead, shoot me. It'll just bounce off. Come, fiery darts. You know, now there is a power that is there by being filled with the Spirit. But you know, that's not what it is. We don't get tights and a cape. All right? Being filled with the Spirit, well, let's kind of try to explain that, okay? Being filled with the Spirit has two characteristics. One I'm going to touch on today, and one I'm going to touch on next time. All right? And out of those characteristics, you find the power of God. All right? In those characteristics, you find the power of God in your life to overcome, to stand. And what are those? Okay, first of all, after it says, be filled with the Spirit, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. One characteristic, which we'll talk about next time, is to be subject. It's to submit yourself. Now it says to one another, but it says in the Lord. It's to submit yourself to the Lord. That is one characteristic of being filled with the Spirit. You find yourself in subjection to another. How do you think we're influenced? It's because we're in subjection. When we're in rebellion, we're not influenced by the Spirit of God. We're running away from it. But when we're in submission, we're submissive, when we're in subjection, we find God able to be God. That's a big thing. When we're in the place that He wants us to be in, we find that He's able to be who He wants to be and who He is in our lives. Now, this other thing is, your song changes. See, all this thing is about singing. About what comes out of your mouth. You know, the Lord Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Oh, I've been listening to myself lately. I can't tell you how many times, well, my opinion is, well, I think you should do this. Well, my view is, that's the killer. That's been my song for a while now. You know, but your song changes. And since I like music, okay, I'll just say this. It changes from its base. Maybe your song is a blues bass. Everything's wrong. Things are just the way they are. I'll never get ahead because woe is me. I don't know. Is that your song? You a blues bass person? Maybe you're country western folk. You know, that's kind of blues with a twang. Okay. Once in a while you get some happy stuff in there, but you know, your dog's gone, your gun's gone, your truck's gone, your wife's gone. All those things. They say if you play it backward, you get them all back, so I don't know. Okay. Remember, I'm sorry to digress. Remember that he used to have the Beatle albums, you play it backwards, you heard about Paul being dead. You know, how dumb. Maybe you're into protest singing. You know? This has to change, and that has to change, and the other thing has to change. You change, 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 but change never comes. Or maybe you just, you know, you're hip-hopping around. You know, you're going to a different culture. But the whole thing is, all those songs have at the center of them, me, I, my. That's it. If you're filled with the Spirit, your song changes. You're not singing the old songs. Okay? Well, what are you singing? I know this is going to sound dumb. Singing Christmas carols. Now, you think about that. Have you ever listened to Christmas carols? I'm not talking about, like, jingle bells and things like that. You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. But have you ever read Christmas carols? They're wonderful. They're, like, full of the gospel. For example, now this really wasn't a Christmas carol by Isaac Watts, Joy to the World. That was written about the second coming of Christ. Yet we sing it as a Christmas carol, as a first coming. But what's the center of it? Joy to the world, what? The Lord is come. Difference. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Glory to the King. Where am I in that? I'm the one singing. That's where I am. I'm singing. Or how about, oh, come, let us adore Him. If you're filled with the Spirit, your whole focus has changed. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me. Isn't that what Paul says? Well, that's it. Here we come and the Lord changes the way we look at things. Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we're at the forefront of our mind, we got to be seeing something else. Our mind's got to be renewed. We got to be seeing something else. Now, how can I be filled with the Spirit? You know, because a lot of us, we go, well, you know, how can that happen to me? And we're looking for an experience. And we're looking for a one-time shot, too. We want it to happen once, and we want it to be forever. Oh, man, I can't tell you how I pray for that. Lord, one-time shot, I'm yours forever. That's what I want. Give it to me. You know? Well, how can I be filled with the Spirit? Again, you're going to think, I'm off the wall. You ask the Father. Father, fill me with your Spirit. And you have to believe that He will, because it says, if you ask for a loaf of bread, will He give you a stone? You ask for an egg, will He give you a scorpion? You ask for a fish, will He give you a snake? How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now again, I'm not talking about an experience. I'm saying, Lord, I want You to influence my life. I want You in my life so that You're the one that's ruling over me. Fill me in that sense. That's what I'm seeking after. Okay, what's the next thing? Then it's to open the doors to Him. Open the doors to your life. If you look at the Holy Spirit as water, okay, if you open a door to water, does the water just stand there up in heaps like, you know, Moses' time? Stand up in heaps? No, you open the door, it comes flooding in, doesn't it? Well, brothers and sisters, that's it. That's our part. We ask, and then we open. We open ourselves to Him. That little book, remember the little book, Christ's Heart, My Home? How He went through each room in His heart, and He opened it. And where He wouldn't open it, the Lord wouldn't go in. But where He did open it, the Lord would go in. Well, it's the same with us. Some of us, we want to stay, we want to have a secular life, and we want to have a religious life. But the Lord tells us that you cannot serve two masters, because you'll either love the one and hate the other, or do what the one wants and not do what the other wants. You have to come to that place of seeing that, because otherwise you won't come to being filled. You have to come to that place. And I'll tell you this, that the Lord is faithful, that since He bought you with a precious price, He will do everything in His power to bring you to the place that you say, I want you. Even to the point of wrestling with you. Remember what happened with Jacob? He wrestled with him. Even to the point of touching his hip. You know? And even to the point of after you have that hip touched and your name changed, you go back to Jacob. He still comes after you. There's a verse in James, and I'm going to read it the way that the footnote in my wife's verse says, James 4, chapter 5. Do you imagine then, is there no meaning to the scripture that says, the spirit that dwells in us longs jealously over us? And in another version it says, longs jealously to possess us, to have influence over us, to have control over us. Do you not know that? It's because, you know, we know him too much as the dove. The dove, so shy, so easily frightened off. You know, we got to let the dove in, because when you let the dove in, you find that He becomes fire and wind. He becomes power. You know, the Holy Spirit is like the shy guy in class. You ever notice there's a shy guy in class and nobody ever knows he's almost there. And nobody even knows what he can do. And then one day the teacher asks him to do something and it comes out like, God, who knew this guy could do that? Or he puts him in charge of something and the way he runs it all of a sudden, like no one ever thought of that. And it turns out to be the best. That's the Holy Spirit. It's just like the Holy Spirit. We put him off in the corner because he doesn't make a lot of noise, except he convicts us. And that's when we really put him off in the corner. Don't want him. Okay? But then we see what he does. We say, I never knew. That's what the Lord has for us. Now, I never have water, but I'm doing this on purpose. It's not full anymore, is it? At least I left a little. You know. Now what do? Huh? What do? Fill it back up. Okay, brothers and sisters, we get out in the world and we're sapped. We're leaky vessels. How do we get it back? You go back into the closet. You've got to be closet Christians. Now, you hear a lot about the term coming out of the closet. But we have to go back into the closet. We have to have that ministry where we go to the Lord daily and feed on what He has that have that conversation with Him, have the Word filling us, strengthening us in the inner man. That happens there. A meeting is not sufficient. You have to have that private time. You have to have that personal relationship. You'll know. I mean, you know, if you just go to meetings and you're neglecting the other ones, you'll know, because you're dead inside. And you feel like rocks are just covering up the well. But the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus says, it's like water that bubbles up. And I think, you know, when you come, some people say, well, gee, Jim, I don't have a song. I don't have that song. I read a great little book when I was a young Christian. It was called Prison of Praise. Merlin Carruthers. Have you ever read it? Prison of Praise, Merlin Carruthers? hell, complaining all the time. He just said, you know something, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that it's some positive confession thing, but I'm saying this. You know, sometimes we come here in the morning and we just feel like we're out of it. We're just lost. And we don't even feel like singing. We feel like hypocrites. You know? And I tell you, every time they put on It Is Well, now I can sit through the first two verses, I'm not very happy. But when that third verse comes up, my sin, O blessed of thy glorious thought, how can you not begin to praise the Lord? And when you give in to the Spirit saying, I don't care how you feel, praise me for what I've done. It doesn't have to be what you feel. I've done this. You praise me for it. All of a sudden, you're letting the water spring up. Boom, rocks start to move. Okay? Now, do you go home and just cover the well up? Or you go home and you start living out of that water that's there? What do? Well, I know too often I go back home and I cover up the well. The brothers and sisters, it's just too hard to live like that. It's too hard to live like that. The Lord says, I want you for myself. And you need to understand what I've done for you. And I want you to live in the good of what I've done for you. Because I've done it, and it cost me something great. So, you praise Him. It's like saying this. There's another song. Come thou. Come thou. What's that mean? He's not here. Come thou. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. When I'm not there, come and tune me. Cling to this room. So how do I get filled? I go back into the closet. And then I'm going to end with this. Because I'm not going to get into submitting, because that's too much to do right now. Let's go back to this verse. I wish I would have ended with this verse last time, but I didn't. It says, making the most of your time, or some of your versions says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I like that instead of making the most of your time. Redeeming the time, because, you know, if you redeem something, you have to pay. You got to pay for it. And redeeming time is costly. It's going to cost you something to redeem the time. But another way of looking at this is, seize the opportunity. This is your opportunity to walk with God. This life is our opportunity now. We're not waiting for our ship to come in. We're not waiting for something to happen. Today is our opportunity. The rest of our life is the opportunity that God has given us to know Him, to walk with Him, and to be transformed into the sons that He seeks. This is it, brothers and sisters. Don't be waiting for something else. This is the time. Now is the day of your salvation. In Hebrews, in chapter 4, and this, I believe, is the verse I want to end with. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering His rest, a promise remains. This is the promise that remains. And then verse 11, therefore, let us be diligent to enter. The word diligent. The word diligent, where did I put it? It's spoudazo. I'm so glad that Alan's teaching Greek. Spoudazo. Sounds really good, huh? What that means, it means to hasten to do a thing. See, diligent, if you're diligent, you don't put things off. When we had to assign a summer assignment for school. Yeah, over summer vacation. I made mine pretty simple. But you know, How many kids waited till that last night to do that thing? And you can tell by looking at it. Waited until the last night, didn't you? Yeah, well, your grade shows too. Hasten to do it. The Lord says, I set these things before you. Oh, all right, let's go. It's like on Christmas morning. I mean, you know, you can't wait. I remember on Christmas morning that parents would be setting the things up, but you could hear them. You know, you'd hear the paper rustling and stuff like that, and you couldn't sleep. You were just so, you wanted to get at it right then. Oh, that it was the same with us, that we had that same feeling about entering into what the Lord has for us. Oh, I want to do it now. Now the Lord will say, yeah, we'll go little by little, but I'll start giving you stuff now. And it also means to exert oneself. Sometimes we think that everything's just going to be given to us. Hey, saved by grace. But brothers and sisters, you know, how do you get your muscles strengthened? How do you learn to walk? The muscles have to. You have to exert yourself. You got to exert that same way. You got to exert the spiritual power given to you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Today is the day. Today is the day. Let us be filled. Let us be controlled. Let us go to the Father and say, Lord, I don't care what the past has been. Today I say, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And let me walk by Him. And you know, now we've been talking about don't be drunk with wine. But you know, Jesus' first miracle was taking something that was tasteless and odorless and that could quench your thirst but had no other effect on you. And He turned it into wine. You know, He made it something that had life. And it says, and this is how He manifested His glory. How is He going to manifest His glory in us? It's by our being filled with the Spirit that we become that new wine that He creates through His work. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand it's Him working through us. He is working in us to will and to do His good pleasure. Let's not put Him off. Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice in You this morning because You have everything for us and You will not hold it back. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful God You are. And Lord, we know that we just have trouble in taking it from You. Sometimes we just want to run our own way and thinking that that's the right way. Sometimes we're caught up in this world and sometimes we just don't even realize things. Oh, Lord, make us aware. Make us aware of what You have for us. And then, Lord, give us the desire, the inner desire that says, I want this. And then by the Spirit, Lord, make us diligent to take what You have for us, to hasten it, to hasten its coming and change our song. Lord, we don't want to be singing the blues anymore. We want to be singing praise unto You for what You've done in our lives. We commit ourselves to You. We commit this word to You through Jesus Christ. Amen.